We sit down with an incredibly dynamic young lady, Sina Pabetsi, who is a producer on HiFM and has built a career and network that most producers would envy. She speaks about building the career, being involved in the community that got her to choose this role, and how working in the hospitality industry gave her the skills she needed to communicate with very high-level individuals. We also speak about her dream about becoming a pilot at a commercial level. This is one you're not going to want to miss, and one that if you are looking for something to share with and inspire your daughters, this show is for you. Welcome to Coffee and Conversations with Champions, the Leadership Edition.
The camera adds 2 pounds.
Yeah,
okay. Well, it must have added about 20 pounds to the size of my head. So there we go. We're recording. We're live.
All right, fantastic.
There we go. We've got our monitoring software, and we've got our Rode mics.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Sina, it's very cool to have you on and
Thank you.
For the first time.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nick. It's amazing to be here.
Boom. Thank you for coming through. So, Sina Pabetsi.
Actually both, because my grand's name is actually Sina. So, because I'm the first granddaughter, I'm named after my grand.
Okay.
So that's, and then Pabetsi is actually not my surname, it's actually my other name. But it's in Zulu they'd say it is Thakazelo. It's Thakazelo. But then in English, I don't know what you call it, because I don't think there's a name for it, because it's not a surname, but it's
it's like a poem thing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So it would be Sena Pabetsi
Molepo.
Molepo.
Molepo, yes.
Okay, all right, cool, awesome.
Yeah.
But on the runner, that
it's Sena Pabetsi.
It's Pabetsi.
It's Sena Pabetsi.
All right, cool. See, that's why Mlungu is really easy, huh?
True.
So we're going to change it to Sina Umhlolo.
Okay, why?
Because you're amazing.
Okay. Thank you.
So, oh, by the way, I can also record the audio here.
Okay.
Maybe we should do that for a separate audio track.
Okay.
Check here. So now, as long as it doesn't change. Okay, we're recording now.
Mm-hmm.
So this will give me a separate audio file on the laptop that I can upload. But with the software, we upload to YouTube and Spotify, and Spotify also uses videos.
Okay.
So guys, sorry I'm so blown out here. I do need a little bit of sun. This is the color difference.
Okay.
This is Umlungu.
Okay. Okay.
So,
okay.
Sina, you are coming on to Coffee and Conversations with Champions to chat about your career and who you are a little bit. So, can you give us a rundown? Who is Sina or Sena, the producer?
Okay. So, Sena, the producer, is basically. I'm originally from Limpopo. I lived in Fairmount for in the Jewish community for actually all my life, because I started primary at Samwood, went to Waverley Girls, and then after Waverley Girls, I wanted to be a pilot after that.
Yes.
That was the initial thing, and then that didn't work out because finance, it's like 2,000 rand to fly, so it's like crazy.
It's nuts. It's
exactly.
I think what's it, about 700,000-800,000 rand in total to get your commercial,
to get
your PPL.
Your PPL, yes.
Yeah, not even your commercial.
No, and on top of that, you still have to do your night ratings and all of that. So that didn't really work out because, I guess it's still paused for now. And then after that, I just worked. So I've never really not worked. So I've always worked and schooled at the same time. So, and then, so I'm only graduating this year in my BA in Communication Sciences and Psychology. And then
Psychology.
So that's basically what's happening. And then I've worked at Chai for 4.5 years, 5 years now.
Okay, cool.
As
Chai FM, that's the Jewish community radio station.
That's correct.
Or as we're instructed to say, 101.9
Chai FM. That's correct. So I started off as a producer for the Chai Kids and the Overdrive, and then
I think that's where we met.
That's where we met. Yes, okay. But now When you met me, now I was the program's manager.
Okay.
So that's where I am at the current moment. Okay. So I make sure that's why I was able to get like content producers, presenters. So that's what I'm in charge of. I'm in charge of the presenters and the producers. Okay. And sometimes also I do the shows just to fill in.
And you were a huge help, which was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I try. I really do try to make sure that everybody, you know, understands what they're meant to do and the show goes as smoothly as possible.
Okay,
not only for the benefit of for our benefit, but for the benefit of the listener as well. You know, you want to create a great product for the listener, you know, and make it worth listening to.
Make them feel involved, engaged, that they're part of the,
the whole thing. The whole thing,
I mean, and it was an incredible benefit for me, where sort of training me up and helping me, because when I came in, where like when I was doing the back announcing for the songs,
Show,
like terrifying, then my first show, terrifying, so really sort of eased into it, but thank you.
But I mean, I feel like, so here's the thing, when I was in December, when I was like, because it was something whereby I had to look for a presenter, and normally I'm just like, oh my gosh, where am I going to get a presenter from? So I'm like...
What about that fat guy with the gym?
Not even, I didn't even, I was like, so I'm going through my Facebook, and I'm like, I see your posts, and I'm like, okay, great speaker. Okay, I can work with this, and then I went on then I went onto your actual Facebook page, and then I can see that you're doing a couple of podcasts, and then you're talking to different people. I'm like, okay, fine. Interviews really, really amazing. Good, I can work with this. Let's see what more. And then I kept on going through your videos, and I'm like, you know what? Let me give you a call. Let me give you a call, and then hear what you say, because you never know. And I just thought you were going to go out. You were going away, because everybody's going away in December. So I'm like, you know what? Let me try you. Let's see. You know, let's see if you're interested. And you really worked out really amazing, because I honestly cannot say or tell if you were nervous, because it was like, okay, maybe, you know, back announcing. You know, I don't think. Here's the thing. I don't think you can ever really do anything wrong as long as you're not like insulting the listener or, you know, swearing on air.
Really? Did you see the titles of some of those songs Craig gave?
Yeah, I mean, they were very, I mean,
18
like,
letters in the name alone.
Yeah, and then you have all the consonants and the, So I think, you know, you can't really go wrong, and you just kept on like improving and improving and improving. I'm like, amazing.
Thank you.
I love this.
It was a lot of fun.
It was,
And the reason I wanted to get you on the show is not just to tell people how brilliant I was. Thank you. By the way, how much more relaxed is this than radio?
Like,
there's no runner, there's no ads, there's no
ads. I don't know. I prefer structure.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's... I'm so programmed in my head to structure. I structure my actual life. I structure my professional life.
Okay.
So this is it is more relaxed, because it's not like after 5 minutes song, after 2 minutes interview. Why are we running late for an interview? Why are not calling this person? You know, it's much more relaxed.
Who did I cut off when I said, right, thank you, that's all the time here. Bye. Well, I didn't even say thank you. I said thank you, bye.
Thank you, bye. And like, my heart dropped in my stomach. I'm like, oh my goodness, we need to. I think
it was a great conversation.
It was a great conversation. Yeah. I'm like, we could have really carried it through, but obviously, I can't blame you, because you don't know. You also didn't know that you could have
carried after
the news.
Yeah,
but it was like, okay, fine. I need to go apologize. And then there was the Louis situation as well.
Yeah. Oh. Mr. Karpus, we apologize. We left the mics on in the studio and we were having a full conversation. Louis's like, I'm trying to read the sports here, guys. So, sorry, Mr. Karpus.
Yeah, so then there was that. But I think everything just really worked out. It really worked out. So that's what I'm saying. It is much more relaxed, because there's no like ads, and you have to play ads at a specific time, because obviously you did promise.
That's how you pay the bills.
Exactly. That's how you pay the bills. So,
excellent.
So this is more chilled,
So give us a rundown on your role, because the sort of I had the idea. I mean, I thought it would be great to have you on the show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
But when you had your sort of apprentices there.
Okay.
Your trainees or.
So.
I'm old. I like the term apprentice or appy.
Yeah. So.
See, check this. I even have an air horn.
Okay.
Wait. Come on. Oh wait. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm pressing the wrong. I needed to enable the mouse. And I've lost my mouse. But okay, let's just carry on.
Okay. So so my role is to basically, at the current moment, aside from just producing, so I was training the producers.
Yes.
I was training, so I'm training the presenters, but I didn't really have to do much with the presenter, because the presenter was Great. So with terms of the producers, the challenge becomes that obviously I feel that it's easy, but sometimes I have to take myself back to when I started producing, that I already have some sort of relationship with some of these people that I'm actually going to ask them to actually do interviews with. Right. So what basically starts off, you have to obviously go onto the different news sites, look at what's currently happening, who's reporting what's being reported and all of that. And then, but because currently we've been reporting on the war and everything, so the main focus is what's happening in Israel and all of that. So then I'd look at, okay, fine, what angle can we look at this from? And what, and also as a producer, you have to put yourself in the position of the presenter. What questions would you ask this person? Because it's not just about picking some random topic. What are you going to say? What conversation? And that's what I push my producers to actually do. What are you going to ask? If you were the presenter, give me 5 questions you'd ask this person. And I have this thing because for some weird reason, over the years, I have a conversation with myself, so I can literally be like, okay, fine. I'm going to say hi to Nick. Nick is going to say hi. I'm going to say, how was your day? He's going to say, and then I literally play it out in my head. And then, so that has kind of helped over the years, but not everyone can, I think that's a bit psycho, but not everyone not everybody 100%. Can do that. So so I encourage my producers to actually say, okay, fine, put yourself in the presenter's shoes. What questions would you ask this person when you're choosing that specific topic? That's one. Once you've chosen that topic, now you have to call the person. And in most cases, I would obviously have to help them with the contact details because where on earth are they going to source them from? Yeah, yeah. Where on earth are they going to get?
Because,
like,
I mean, over time, you've built up a fantastic network.
Yes, right. that's the thing. So sometimes I have like over like 5,000 contact details. I don't even know half of these people, but I know if I'm like looking for the IDF, I will press IDF and it will come up. I know exactly who the contact person is. If I'm looking for,
but you also have a kosher caterer on.
Exactly. Yeah, so like I have everyone from like an Italian Jewish restaurant somewhere in the world to like anywhere, like literally. So sometimes I look at my WhatsApp and I see people viewing my status and I'm like, who's this? I have no idea who's this. But that's because over the years, but I do have some sort of, they do know me, I do know them, and I can always say, hi, are you able to do an interview with us? And
right.
they will be like, yes. So, and also, I think it's also communication. And I think that's what a lot of, which became a big challenge with most of the producers. So I believe that if I call you 3 times, almost sometimes 4 times. sometimes even 9. I remember I once called Deco like 20 times and then they banned my call. I think they blocked me.
Really?
So, yeah, they did.
That's so cool.
It's not, because now I can't get hold of that specific person. So, So I called them and then it didn't work out. But I feel like if I call you a couple of times, I kind of annoy you and then you'll eventually answer. That's just the trick. But, you know, you can't call a person once or twice and say, oh, no, they're not answering. What does that mean? Are you saying that there will be no show? No, you cannot not have a show. I've always said, I think...
Excuse me, it's been a long week.
No, that's fine.
Not you.
You can't not have a show.
Yes.
So, which means that I'm going to have to call, you're going to have to call that person. And if either the worst answer you can get is, no, I'm not available.
Yeah.
And so how I've built my contact is there anyone that you can refer me to? Is there anyone with the same experience and knowledge as you that you can refer me to? And in most cases, they're very happy to say, yeah, sure. Talk to this person and hear what they say.
Awesome.
And
fantastic.
Yeah.
So give us a rundown on what does a producer do and then up to, obviously, what does the program manager
could
do? Because if you were talking to the youth.
Yeah.
And sort of our ideas, there's podcasts. Sorry. It's like 11 car crashes. My favorite thing, by the way, is reading the traffic. I love the traffic.
The traffic,
so much fun.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of people are putting out podcasts and podcasts have ramped up.
Yes.
So people outsource to social media experts to run their posting and that. But I think for me, I know a producer for our podcast would be phenomenal. Sourcing guests, managing the time. It's stuff that I can do, but if it takes 3 hours of the week to do, it, I can do more with that time and you would be doing a better job.
True.
So I think producing of the podcast, not from a technical aspect. There's another, you know, component to that because editing, putting it together, managing the audio levels. That's huge. Mm-hmm. But from a production point of view, a producer point of view, mm-hmm. finding guests, booking, managing, because also then that tenacity, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe we show you want to. I want to get Jeff Bezos mm-hmm. on the, or Elon Musk mm-hmm. or Joe Bloggs. It can, you know, you can get it done, and you're also doing it when we're not doing it.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, production producer for podcasts mm-hmm. is a potential area that people can earn a living
true.
And build a nice
true.
Life around.
True.
What is it? What is a producer? What is the do you do basically? I mean, we've touched on it. Mm-hmm. And then how does one go about getting into the field?
So I think it's more of being a freelance content
yes.
producer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in terms of that, so in terms of how long it takes, I think once you've gotten into the gist of things, it takes, I think it's like way less time. So it would take me, let's say for instance, if I'm producing for the Overdrive, which is how many years? 4 guests.
Yes.
I can,
no, more. Isn't it 3 and 2?
No, it's 4, excluding okay. Rolene and...
Okay.
Yeah, because I already know that Rolene's there, yeah. so that's...
But, but it is then. So yeah. technically it's 6.
Yeah, technically it's 6.
Because you got Louis and...
Yes,
Rolene.
So that for me...
So one hi, Rolene!
Hi, and Louis.
and Mr. Carpus. So, well,
So it would take, it would be like, I don't know, an hour or two, depending on, and it also sometimes it also varies. Sometimes it can take me longer because sometimes you can call one person and they're like, I'm not available. And you call the next person, yeah. and they're like, I'm not available. Mm. So you can have like 5 people saying they're not available, and that's when it's really like, it's just bad for you on that day.
That's
when
you walk into the studio and you're in the reception.
Guy. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, hold on. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then, okay. but it also sometimes if the person is like a huge public figure.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to like go through the PA,
yes.
from the PA, go to the other person, next from the next person. So you keep on going to the next person. And
the gatekeepers.
PAs are the biggest gatekeepers. Mm. Oh my goodness. They are, yeah. And sometimes, you know, I know sometimes then they would be like, you know, don't go through him first. Sometimes, and sometimes it's so much better to just go through the person. And sometimes you do find that I have the actual contact details for this specific person, but because I have to go through the PA, who's going to literally be my biggest gatekeeper, I just go to this person and then they think I'm rude. I'm not trying to be rude. You just gatekeep me all the time.
You got that time limitation.
Exactly. So I don't have the time to be negotiating and saying, please. So I go straight to the person and then the person agrees and then we're done.
Yes.
You know? So it really just depends on different days of how, depending on how long it takes, it depends on the day.
Right.
And also the kind of, if the person is a public figure, but if the person is a professor, for instance, sometimes they have a class at that specific time. So I'd have to adjust to say, okay, fine, could you do it at this time? So it's like, it's a matter of negotiating time, literally all the time, okay. you know?
But I mean, and that's pretty specific to radio though. So if you're doing podcast production,
yes.
you could be booking a guest 3 months from now.
That's true. But it's a bit, sometimes then they forget. Then they forget. Sometimes, for instance, I have this one show whereby I would have to like book guests like every single Monday. So which means that I could book them like 3 months or 6 months in advance, but then they forget. So you have to keep reminding them and sending them, you know, messages to say on this day or this day we have an interview. So if it's like I would give myself like a week if it's like a huge public figure. And then I don't know, I remember Benji once said, Sen is like a pit bull. She doesn't let go.
Yes.
And I don't let go because I'm trying to get...
It's
about the show, one. It's also about, for as long as you haven't said no and I haven't reached the person, I still have the potential to get to that person.
And even if they've said no, they haven't said no forever.
Forever, exactly. I remember there was this... so we were doing the youngest millionaires in South Africa.
Okay.
So we were able to get, I think...
Is this in Zimbabwe dollars?
No. It's South African, right?
South African, right?
So we were interviewing, I think one of them was Sandile, the other one was... So we just had to get like all of them. Mm. So I did manage to get some. And then there was this one who kept on saying, I'm only going to be available in the next 3 months. And I contacted him, for the next 3 months.
Yes.
And eventually when that 3 months came,
yeah.
I don't think he was really keen in doing the interview.
Yes.
But
and he couldn't say no.
And he couldn't say no. So I contacted him every single, like, once a week for the next, you know, 2 months until mm-hmm. 3 months until, you know. And then he's like, okay, fine. I just can't. I can't do the interview. But you know what? You did. You said 3 months. I contacted you for 3 months, and the day has arrived. So what are you saying now? You know. So it didn't really work out, but
listen, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Because I sold insurance for 15 years, and you'd get that blow off where they just say, "No, I'm not interested."
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, then we attack them on that anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, negotiate. But like you phone them, like you put it in the diary,
yeah.
and phone them back,
mm-hmm.
and they're like,
And then it's you again.
It's you again.
It's you again. So you do get that. But most people that I've come across are super happy to do the interviews. They're pleasant people to talk to.
So Melissa, it's quite tough that.
Yeah.
So who is this job for? Who is this profession for?
Mm-hmm.
And who's it not for?
You have to be very, should I say, resilient?
Mm.
So you have to be consistent. If you're not a consistent person, and I remember I had a colleague of mine who had to produce his own show. He's like, I can't do this. I can't beg people. I'm like, it's not a matter of begging the person. It's just a matter of asking the person and just being consistent. And if they say no today, you can always ask them if they can do it a different day. So you have to be very consistent and resilient and be a good communicator, because especially if the person is like overseas, like in America, you must remember that we also have time differences.
Yeah.
So for instance, when I was producing the morning show, I couldn't get people from America because they were sleeping. So you have to be, and always make sure that you communicate thoroughly. I know sometimes you might feel like this information is useless, but communicate it. Make sure that that person has received it. And you guys can't understand each other through text, call the person, talk to this person. You must not be afraid to talk to people.
It's so true. People like to hide behind WhatsApps and texts, where you can literally get something done in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5 hours worth of messaging.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Just call the person. Make sure that you've called. Make sure that you follow through. Having to follow through is very important, because then if you don't follow through, then the person... Because you must remember, you want something from that person. They don't want anything from you. So
on that, like, no one gets paid to come on radio.
No, nobody gets paid.
As a guest.
No, nobody gets. Because it's also, it has to be, because sometimes, and then I guess that's why sometimes you have people that are trying to punt their brand to say, I'm Joseph from, I don't know.
Yeah.
the specific, so they're trying to push their brand. I'm trying to do this. So that kind of loses credibility to the listener, because it's like listening to a YouTube ad. Exactly.
A YouTube ad.
And you're like, come on, you know. So, I mean, for them it is business, but... Yeah.
It's like, hey, Dave, it's great to see you. Well, yes, it's great to see you too, because I'm wearing my glasses from Bob's Optometrist.
Exactly.
I worked for an insurance company called Hereford,
mm-hmm.
the Hereford Group. And the time the CEO, Patrick Magna, got called on to, you got invited to SABC to talk on one of the business shows.
Mm-hmm.
So they were chatting to him. They asked his opinion on something. And we were all standing in the studio. And he literally, without missing a beat, well... At the Hereford Group, straight at the camera. At the Hereford Group, we believe.
Yes, punch your brand.
We were on the floor. We were like trying not to lie. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I haven't forgotten that one.
But yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Sometimes people try to punt, but none of the interviews are paid for.
Yeah.
And we try not to do that, because sometimes then the interview loses its credibility.
100%.
And you don't want that for the listener. You know, you don't want them tuning out because they're basically listening to another ad. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you got to be tenacious. Mm-hmm. You got to be resilient. You got to be organized.
You got to be organized and a good communicator.
And a good communicator. Mm-hmm. So for those who it's not for are those lacking those skills.
Pretty much.
Right.
Again,
it's not lacking skills that make you a bad person. That's just not your skill set.
It's just not your thing.
I have an amazing PA because I suck at admin. Okay, exactly. I'm great on the radio. You know, mm-hmm. I can talk well, mm-hmm. But I can't dance. Well, I think I can dance.
That's actually, you can. So, there's a video of you. I do have that video. Did I send it to you?
No.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Okay. Yeah, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. How was my DJ voice in the second show?
I think...
it was like, hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're now going live to...
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
You see, that's the thing with radio. You want to be as natural as possible. You
don't. That's great advice.
Yeah, you want to be as natural because now you don't want to have. Today you have a radio voice that's like, and I think that's why people are always trying to. Is it fake it till you make it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
But
it always sounds very weird. Today you're listening to some person and then, is this the same person from yesterday? I'm not confused, but they do have the same name. So you have to be as natural as possible because you're trying to be as authentic to the listener as well. You're trying to get them to relate to you as a person and that's why one of the biggest things in radio is, especially when you're talking to the listener, it's always a you type of matter.
Yes.
Never you guys out there, you know.
What do you say, you guys? Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so you're talking to one person because these days and nowadays, people are listening to radio in their cars alone. Mm. So when you're saying, you guys out there, they're like, you know. Who else is here?
How do they know about the guy in the booth?
Exactly, you know.
Like, can you turn it up? I can't.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's very important that you're always speaking to one person.
Okay.
And, you know, it helps, yeah.
And I think that advice that you gave me was, like, imagine you sitting and talking to someone in their living room.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It was hugely, hugely valuable.
Yeah. So another trick to that, exactly, it's with new presenters, you could take a picture, and I think this, I got it from Kathy, actually.
Mm.
Just take a picture of, I don't know, your friend, and you put your...
Okay.
And then talk to your friend. Talk to them, you know, and then that also translates to... the listeners
and the people hear that they really hear how relaxed or connected you are. Absolutely. I couldn't have pictures of any of my friends because I'd be rude. So so if you look at the screen here where we're recording, so when I do live streams, it comes up with comments and numbers of viewers, and I find as the viewership goes up, my anxiety goes up. I just take the mouse off and I get.
And then you just have you.
There's blank and it's just me.
It helps.
And that's much easier. So, but I'm working towards that where I can keep it as if I'm talking to one person. That's what I've got in my head.
Because
suddenly you're talking to more people. You start to panic.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling them the right stuff enough? Mm-hmm. Does this one need to hear this? Does this one? So that's where it's just coming to talking to one person, which is great.
Yeah.
So what are the career paths, the career options in production? By the way, I just want to mention one thing. How nice is it having a clip-on mic where you don't have to sit on the mic the whole time?
It is amazing because then you don't have to. Also,
no offense, Craigus, we love you. But
I think it's also less intimidating.
Yes.
And I think that's why for me, over the years, I'm like, I get very, very nervous when they're like, so Sana, what do you think? I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I think? I don't know what I think. Because it's not because I don't know what I think. It's because of the mic becomes intimidating.
Yeah.
So this doesn't necessarily, like, you forget about it.
Yeah, that's
you forget about
sorry
it.
Sorry for reminding
you.
Yeah.
You forget about it. But one mic and it's sitting there, you're just like, okay, fine, I need to say the right thing at the right time. What if I say the right thing?
Am I close enough?
Am I close enough? Yeah. Is it, you know, because apparently you have to put apparently a fist away.
For the DJ voice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think, this kind of helps you to forget.
To forget about it.
Forget about it, yeah. So it doesn't become... stressful.
100%.
And you
see the fun part with these conversations. Like, I'll mention a point, think of something, and go completely off the point.
Yes.
So back to the point.
You did ask, actually. Yeah.
No, that's all me. That's not you.
No, that's fine. I mean, there are a lot of career choice. I mean, career paths in radio. I mean, if you're either like a newsreader, I think that's also something that I think a lot of universities, colleges should actually address.
Yes.
You have...
So campus radio was, I don't know how big it is now, but it was a big thing.
Yeah, campus radio is still a thing, but I feel like with most, I struggle to get news readers.
Can I just move your hair away from the mic
just
in case?
So you find that you have news readers that obviously studied to write, just I study to write news, but they can't.
Because that's also, sorry, the news reader makes the news.
That's true.
They're not just like read that. So like they're going and researching the articles, putting that what to say, thought of the day.
That you have to write your own news bulletin and then record the or read and read it out. But now you have people that can read but cannot compose or write a news bulletin.
Right.
So I don't know if is it a university thing or is it college problem or people just forget how to write or people don't know how to write or people are not trained. I think
writing has fallen by the wayside big time, because I think also with technology, with autocorrect, with Word document, you know, all of those. With AI now even more so. Where if I go back to remember my grandfather's days, he would be handwriting. You know, handwriting. You went to someone for dinner, you'd send them a handwritten letter.
Yeah.
And writing's a skill, and it's practice, and it can stand you in such good stead in everything.
So that's what I'm saying. It's there are so many opportunities, because not only, even if you're a content producer, you can then go out and still be like a social media coordinator, because you need the writing skills. You need to, you know, you need to write grammatically correct.
Yes,
you need
to, Grammarly.
Exactly. Because
this is not a sponsored.
So, you still have, and I was talking to my cousins in December, where they write, how you're doing as HUD.
Yeah.
I'm like,
No.
Write in full sentence. How are you doing? Not HUD or WD.
We're not living in an SMS world anymore. We had 160 characters for 120 rand. Mm-hmm. 1 rand 20.
1 rand 20 cents.
And then they dropped it to 60. But
you don't want that. You don't want that. You have to write. And I think that's also, and that's why sometimes people don't even know how to spell anymore, because of that reason. There's a lot of, there's a lot of careers within radio.
Okay.
Because even that's what I'm saying, as a news reader, you need to know how to write and spell and then also articulate properly and all of that. And manage that flow.
That's what Mike was, you just go, the flow.
Manage the flow, exactly. Mm. And then if you think you can even, present.
And produce.
So producing, news writing, social media, which is a very big thing. Presenting, news reading. Mm. There's so much, and there's even like behind the scenes, because you also have the sound engineers in the background. They are the ones that put up the podcast, edit them, and then put them up, and all of that. And then there's like your Peter G that works on the website. So there's like it really is like super big.
PTG?
No, there is Peter G. Peter G is the guy that manages our website. Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you said PTG.
No, Peter G.
Okay, yeah, Peter G. That's none of my ears. Oh, okay, cool.
There's a lot. There really is a lot.
And I think what's very, very cool about producing skills, radio skills, whether it's announcing or news reading, these are skills that are transferable worldwide.
True.
So if you're young, even not so young, and you wanting to travel, you may get a job at Bangkok Radio XYZ for 6 months, and then you go to there.
That's true.
So it's a wonderful way to sort of see the world.
That's true.
And earn an income and have a set schedule.
True. So one person that I think would be a very big example of that, I don't know if you know her, Kate Turkington.
Yeah.
She's worked for, I think, BBC.
She's 80 something.
No, 80 something close to 90.
I apologize, Kate, my sincere apologies.
Yeah, so she's I think she's like one of the most exceptional presenters.
Yes.
You know, I think she says she's worked for BBC. I've had the pleasure to meet her, work with her as well. So she's really like amazing, and she's like, she'll tell you like everything. She's very, very wise as well. Okay. So she'll tell you like everything that
I have to get her on the show.
I think
she'll
love you.
That's the first guest you can book.
Okay. I think she would, and she would really be, she'd be very happy to come. I think she's an amazing lady.
So, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah. So you should contact her.
Do we get in touch? Yeah. Me? No. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to introduce you to my skill set: outsourcing. Take what you're good at, and multiply it. Take what you're not good at and then outsource it.
And outsource, yeah. That's
so
thing.
Even if you're good at it. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
How does someone go about getting into the career?
Into the
career. Let's say two things. You've got a high school kid and then you've got a varsity kid.
I think when I started, I remember in high school, they said we must drop shadow. And then obviously because... honestly speaking, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I went
You're
to the bench. I still don't.
Can I share something with you? I'm 52.
Okay.
I have no idea what I want to do with my life. I know what I don't want to do.
Okay.
But that's not a bad thing. That is, like, I look at my friends. I have some of them who studied accountancy at school and they got amazing careers as accountants or doctors or lawyers or... I studied first year civil engineering, then I went to electrical light current, all of these different things. What's so cool is we can do anything. So one thing evolves. So like with the gym, evolved into live streaming because we had to with COVID. We had to live stream to clients. We had to find clients worldwide. All of that equipment meant we could live stream powerlifting competitions and sports events.
Yeah.
That meant we could then go and do something else. Mm-hmm. So we can evolve. And you have, right?
That's true.
It doesn't matter that you don't know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I also feel like then you see, there's the whole thing where you see everybody doing other things and you're like, maybe I should try that. Maybe I should try that. Maybe I should
try that. And why not?
And why not? Exactly. And why not? So, but you feel that, you don't have a sense of direction.
So if you look at it as becoming the best version of who you are, right? So let's say, for example, a doctor is a general practitioner, but he sees a need in his market. So he goes and studies aesthetics so he can do Botox and all of these things. So if you look at it like if you're enhancing... And so, like, let's say, for example, you are a radio presenter, but then you become a chef, and then you become a motor mechanic, and then you become but somehow you realize that actually what I can do is, you know, I'm going to run a podcast about my restaurant at my garage that does this and that,
does that.
And then you can put it together.
Mm-hmm. I think
and that then becomes, so it's not a straight line life. Yeah. It's always that left and right curve.
I guess if you put it that way, it sort of does because what happens is that you basically are looking out for the needs that are in different industries and then you can actually fill in from there. I think that... That does make a lot of sense.
Bruce Lee said it very well about martial arts. He said, absorb what is useful, reject what is useless, and add what is uniquely your own.
Amazing.
So that's like, add what is you. Hey, I like that. I'll try it. I like that. How do I bring it in? My insurance helped me sell security systems. My work, so I went from working at TEDx to selling insurance to working for Barron Security. I think we did about 2,000 alarm installations for them in about 4 or 5 months. It was insane.
Wow.
So my technical from TEDx helped me with the installations. And the sales training that I got from Barron selling alarm systems helped me in insurance. And the insurance now helped me talk to people because what insurance gives you is the gift of unpacking. So finding questions. Why do you say that? How does that make you feel? What would happen if you don't?
Yeah.
What would happen if you do? Are those the consequences you've considered? So that helps with an interview skill.
True.
So all of the, you know.
Wow, look at that.
So like high school to working as a radio and TV technician, building the big screen at Ellis Park when I worked for TEDx, meeting the Rolling Stones, is very cool. I stood this close to Mick Jagger and I was like at the Carlton Hotel at the after party. I was like,
you don't know what to say.
I'm so embarrassed. I really do need to go up to one. I apologize. He's like, are you that idiot from South Africa? Mr. Jagger again, I do apologize. You know, all of that. And then that went into this, which goes into this. So now think about this, right? I was in insurance. 15 years, and then I moved into management recruiting and sharing the skills and teaching young guys how to sell insurance. Left insurance, opened the gym. The teaching skills I learned teaching insurance products that I could apply to training my clients. My clients led to the academy, mm-hmm. where we train and develop young coaches from disadvantaged communities. Amazing. And that helped me train the coaches.
Wow, everything just
evolves into
something else.
And you, if you sit down and you think about it, mm-hmm. that's what we do naturally anyway.
True,
we take our skill set that we've acquired mm-hmm. and we apply it where it's needed.
Huh? That's true. Wow. I actually never thought of it that way. That's why I'm always panicking. I'm like, maybe I should just be a millionaire. How do I get to being a millionaire?
Yeah.
Maybe I should just call Elon Musk. Hey, he was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, so for me, that's what I'm saying. I feel like I didn't know what I wanted to do then. Mm. I'm not sure if I know what I want to do now, but I'm going to work towards something regardless, and then I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So when I started, I remember I went to Sandringham Vet.
Yes.
And then... yeah, I decided that I'm not going to be a vet, because then I remember there was a cat that had diabetes and then it was blind and then didn't have a leg. And I'm like, nope, no, that's very sad for me. I can't do that. That's too sad. So that didn't work out. And then when did I go? Oh, yes. And then I went to MediResponse. And then
what skills did you learn at the vet that you're using now?
I just got scared off. I don't think I learned anything.
How about that? You learned what you're willing to tolerate for a career and what you're not.
That's true, actually. What is it that I want? I don't want. Yeah. I learned what is it that I don't want.
As important as knowing what you want.
I think that's the one thing. Mm. I learned what I don't want. And then when I went to MediResponse, the experience was nice because even the people there were very nice, right?
Yes.
But it's also something that I learned that I don't think I necessarily want to go into where people are getting hurt, because what put my mind to it is, so you only respond or you only work when someone is getting hurt. That didn't pass well with me. That really didn't pass well with me.
So you're more about prevention than cure.
Yeah. So I was like,
but you're proactive.
Yeah.
You're not waiting until 4 o'clock to phone the 405 guest.
No, you can't do that.
So that's it. You're not waiting until they hurt. You don't want to deal with the crisis management.
Exactly. Rather deal with it now. Yes. That way I know what's coming and I can prevent anything. So that is one. Then I also learned that, no, I don't think I want to do that. So maybe the medical side is not my thing. And that's when then I was like, okay, fine. Maybe I can be a pilot. And then, that is still currently paused. And then I shadowed at Chai FM.
Mm.
And then I had the most amazing time of my life, really. I was just like,
been a bundle of energy there.
Yeah, right? And then I just, you know, I would sit with Vusi, and then Vusi would, and then I'll talk to Vusi, and then I'd move to Lindy where she did the news, and then from Lindy, then I'll speak to Kathy, and I'll just speak to everyone, really, whoever was there, and I'll speak to them, because I was interested in what all of them are doing, and how everything is put together, and, you know, and how everything just runs. So I guess then I liked that, and I was like, I could work with this. Mm-hmm. I could work with this. So that was just volunteering, and then obviously it was December, and then I went home and came back, and then I was working and schooling at the same time, and then Kathy met me I was working at Sushi. Before Sushi closed, so they had like a sushi belt and everything.
Doing what at Sushi?
I was a waiter there.
Okay, did you ever make sushi?
I tried, it didn't work out.
Okay,
it just fell out. I don't know why was it falling out. And the chefs used to do it so brilliantly. And then they put it. And I think that's also something that...
So sushi was good, man.
It was. Sushi belt. Yeah. I liked the different colors. And it's also just talking to the people. And I think that's the one thing I love about my job, and I think that's my biggest skill, talking to people.
Yes.
Communicating is
talking to people and making them feel that they are the single most important person.
Exactly. And having to, you know, and sometimes people would say that maybe it's because you're too nice. I don't mind being too nice. I like being too nice because, you know, it makes the next person feel good, and I feel good about the fact that they feel good. And you know what? Maybe that's what we need in the world.
100%.
Everybody to be nice to one another.
There's no such thing as too nice.
There's no such thing as being too nice. And I think, so that's what I'm saying. I like, here's the thing. Most of the people that I was Away to Two. I actually got to meet them at Chai FM as well. So okay, in both cases, it was like super amazing because I remember there was a lady by the name of Liat. I don't know if you know her. She worked at the Israel Center. I think now she went, I think she was there temporarily. I think now she's in Israel. And I used to meet her and her family. And then it just happened that when I went to Biachid, I would bump into her and I'm like, oh, I know you. She's like, yes, I know you. And I'm like, yeah, I know you from. And then it was really just amazing. The people that I used, you know, it was. I think if it's the one thing that I learned from being a waiter is the importance of communication.
Yeah.
So, because...
Vital.
Very, very important.
So, dealing with Jewish people and food.
And, oh my... And then they're like, no, you must...
Mediterranean people and food.
They'll be like, remove... I don't want the avo, but can you add a little bit of the rice? But also, just not that bit of the rice. And then you end up there thinking to yourself, okay, this is half of rice, but not too much of the avo, but maybe the avo.
Like, I want a hand roll, but I don't want that seaweed paper.
Yes. And then like, okay,
wait, what?
Okay. I want rice, but not too much of rice. Yep. Okay. So you
I'm
also
on a
learn...
Diet. But give me some more rice on this.
Exactly that. So I think I also just, you know, communication was I think something that I was just like, I think I could do this. And I think when I started off as being a producer, communication wasn't the biggest factor. But and now that I'm training people as well, communication is actually a thing, because you get people that are like, I have to speak to this person. I'm like, yes, you do. Mm. Like, can I not just send them a text? I'm like, well, no, you want to, you know. Also, it's also very important to hear if that person can communicate, because sometimes I speak to people in Israel and they can't speak English, and they're like, oh, maybe they're not confident with their English. And then they'll be like, and then they'll, you know, how are you going to communicate? Because now they're going to speak Hebrew and I don't have a Hebrew translator. So what's going to happen now? You know, so you need to be able to talk to that person. Hear what they're saying. Are they comfortable talking to you?
And so you're saying, like, some of the guys are one word answers.
Yes.
And how are things going today?
Good.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, ladies and gentlemen. That's all the time we have for you today.
And by the time you still have like five more minutes to actually fill. Now you're thinking, okay, I'm going to play a song. But what if the song ends early? I think there's someone by the.
And that's when the door goes. Yep. Hey, Cap.
Okay,
there we are. I didn't even know Cap was in here. That's cool. Okay. So, we are recording now live from the gym, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going live. We've got to do a live one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, so that's pretty much, I moved from then. It was a basically job shadowing. That's what I'm like, I'm always very pro job shadowing, because you will know what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah.
You know? And then from there, you can just carry it. And then, and then I worked Chai FM. And then, So back here,
So to chat about the job shadowing thing, which I think is vital, I do think, like, how's this for a crazy idea? There is no employment problem in South Africa. There is only a payment problem. So what I mean by that is, if people came to you and said, can I work at the radio station for a year for free to learn? You'd find something for
definitely,
them to do.
Definitely.
But if they come and say, yeah, but what are you going to pay me? Which we understand. People have to eat. They have to. But rather than sitting at home, not sending out CVs, acquire some skills.
Take your time. I think it's also... I don't know. Sometimes I do feel like some people have a self-entitlement issue. They just want to take, but never want to give. And sometimes that's a problem. And also...
I think there can also be anxiety.
I think
you
so.
You know, it's like when you don't have, you just want to grab. I've spoken to some people. It's almost like, this can be a touchy subject, but it's a slave mentality, meaning that you don't know when it's come next.
Okay. Right?
So you have a slave mentality. You have abundance mentality. If you know every week you're going to find a way to put food on the table, fine. If you don't know what you're going to get for the rest of the year,
take now.
You take as much as you can now, and you don't even think about, if I give, I'll get more tomorrow.
True. I think maybe that's also another thing. But then you also have the issue of, And it's something that I actually realized that this week when I went with Kathy to some, I think it's some place, I don't know what, it's like a tech hub. And sometimes we do not see, or we fail to see the opportunities that lie literally in front of us. So I went to, when we went to this place, so that, you know, I don't know if you've been to your Gussies, like your Alex, your Tembisa,
Everton, Tembisa.
Yeah, like the true Gussies of South Africa. Yeah, the true.
Dude, I've done self-defense workshops.
Amazing.
Everywhere. Okay. Listen, Richmond in Natal.
Yeah.
Up there at the townships. Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, so but the then there's so many like, opportunities. Like, okay, who's this guy? Umlungu is in the township. Yeah.
No, and then all the locals come, hey, do you have a wife?
And then they ask.
Yeah, we know. Yeah. Okay, right.
So if one has been there, there is so many opportunities. I'm always saying that you can never, ever go hungry when you're in the Gussie. A 10 rand will buy you pap and meat, and you will be fine for that for tonight.
Yes.
You know? So it was a thing whereby they had all these like different innovations. Like, so in the township, there is, you know how you have Uber Eats?
Yeah.
They have like a bicycle that can, you know, they get like a bicycle that can move from A to B. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, those are the opportunities that, those are the innovations rather that, you know, that one could, you know, you should, we should have more innovators rather than people that.
The single most important thing that we need is the encouragement and the development of the entrepreneurial mindset from understanding of how to be an entrepreneur, how to run, because it is like nothing in this world beats a township fix.
True.
Right?
Sure.
Got to get your car to work, got to get it fixed, you've got someone who can help you.
There is.
There was a young man that I spoke to as a barista at a coffee shop about 10, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that he had a business because he had noticed how expensive nappies were at the spaza shops in Hillbrow, in Berea. Those, it was maybe 20 rand for a nappy when it should be 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to have people come to his flat to buy nappies.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to him, okay, there's two issues there. One, there's a, you don't want to be carrying cash.
Mm-hmm.
And two, save the mom time. Why don't you have a WhatsApp number and deliver a nappy?
Yeah.
So it costs you 2 rand, you sell it for 10 rand. And it's so he left. I don't know if he started it, but I've contacted him. But he was going to be the Uber poop. Yeah, you'll be eating nappies.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, like, you get one big block, you get 10 blocks of flats in your area. Okay, cool. I'll be there in 30 minutes. Yeah. 20 minutes, you're running.
You do a deal
with the landlords, and you deliver your nappies.
You deliver your own nappies. So that's, so I think it's also failure to see the business opportunities within the areas that we live in, and that becomes
Is that also because, how's this for a tough question, the youth have been sold a lie about what to expect.
Expectations, that's true.
I want to be a middle manager, I want my BM, I want my house in Bryanston, I want my dinner,
but also,
not start at the bottom.
But also, it's because when you, I think from being a black girl child, you are told, go to school so they can get a job.
Yes.
So your mentality is not business, it is go get a job.
Yeah.
So now, I'm always saying there's only so many people you can hire and actually pay, you know. So now if you have this group of people, this bunch of graduates that are all looking to go find a job because nobody has told them that actually you can actually have your degree and actually have a you know, a business. So that's a big problem.
Instead of go and get a job, go and make a job.
Go make a job.
Go and create jobs.
That's true. That's
true. If everybody had, I'm going to create 5 jobs mindset within 3 years.
But I also think it's also the schooling system, you know, I think about it now. I'm like, it just still today doesn't really make sense to me. How is 30% a pass rate? How is 30%? And not only that, you don't also teach.
Do you really want an educated, empowered middle class?
No.
Huh?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And it's a difficult one. And these are not really the kind of topics that I wanted to,
but
it's true. Like, if you keep people at a certain level of self-belief, of self-worth, of self-value, look at the role models as well. And the reality is, if I can't drive a 7 Series, if I can't live here, I'm worth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter that I'm working as a waiter and a packer and this to help my parents put food on the table, which is the most incredible thing. Or I don't have parents and I'm looking after my siblings, you know, which is the most incredible, honorable thing to do. Teachers, you know, nurses.
That's true, So, and that's what I'm saying. I also think maybe if we also started from teaching entrepreneurship within high school, as soon as you like, from either, I don't know, should I say primary or high school? But I feel like it would be most impactful within high schools.
Because,
you know, if you teach those entrepreneurial skills.
In nursery school.
Yeah. Let them
do you know, like, you know, King David, the schools, they have, that work day where you got to make a product, bring a product, sell it, trade it.
Yeah.
Like these, you know.
Those things, they kind of help. So I think that's the problem that we have in South Africa. Also, the idea of the government must provide jobs.
Yes.
The government must provide jobs. They can only hire and hire as many people as possible. What happens to you? Maybe you must create a job.
We need that shift. Mm-hmm. And this is the cool thing, the beautiful thing about podcasts.
Yeah.
How's this for a segue back to where we are?
True.
Like for what you're doing, right? So the more we can get people involved in making and creating podcasts, the more you can get the message of entrepreneurship out there, the more people can start to go, okay, hang on, maybe I can.
But here's the thing, even with podcasts, we have so many young people creating podcasts. Mm. Consistency is the problem.
Well, yes.
And also, you have 20 YouTube people all talking about the same thing, which is life, my lifestyle, where I'm traveling next. I mean, I can only follow so many people talking about that personal lives. What about the topics that matter?
Yes.
You know, career choices. I was thinking about it and I'm, you know, a couple, I don't know why I actually haven't really implemented it, but I was thinking about the whole concept of, because a lot of, and I do believe that most students don't even know what they want to do after school, yes?
Yeah.
And even when I was in grade 11.
And that's not a problem.
That's not a problem. But even when I was in grade 11, I think a lot of kids didn't do the job shadowing. I mean, in my class, I think 5 of us went to job shadowing.
Really?
Yeah, we were given 3 days. Less than 10 people actually went to go and job shadow. So I don't know if, is it a problem? What's the problem? I honestly cannot identify what the problem is. But I feel that if, so there was a show that I did with the Chai Kids, right? Mm. And I was thinking, if I can book the guests to go, so to come into studio, why can't we bring those guests into the schools?
Yes.
And that eventually could actually be something whereby you can get your taffies to sponsor that.
Yes.
And, you know, now you actually have, and so because what happens is that even at the end of, for matriculants or like for grade 11s, you have all these different schools that come and say, come to us, but come to you to do what? That's one. If I'm coming to you, why can't we get your doctors, your nurses, your police officers, your aviation schools and your pilot, not just the aviation school necessarily, but the pilots to come and say, listen, let me be realistic with you. This is how much it is. This is how much you're going to pay before you even fly someone for money. You know, have those carriers of those people with those specific careers come into the schools and actually talk to these kids. Mm. And then from there, they can say, okay, maybe I can be that or I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because strip it way back, make it easier.
Yeah.
Set up a podcast like that.
Yes.
Where you bring on a guest. Mm-hmm. So like what I'm doing with this, the whole idea behind, so it's Coffee and Conversations with Champions,
yes.
And we have different editions.
Okay.
So this is the leadership edition, because you're a leader in what you do. Mm. We have we have table tennis. So then we have the sports, powerlifting, paddle, table tennis, swimming, all of those different kinds of sports, so that people know how to segment it. But the idea of the content is behind.
Mm-hmm.
How did you develop self-belief? How do you maintain self-belief?
Mm-hmm.
How do you fight for yourself?
Every day.
These are the things. Mm-hmm. How do you believe you have self-worth? I think the challenge that the youth face is there's no role model and there's no belief in hope or there is a way out.
I don't know. You know, here's the thing. obviously you're taught that, and I think that's why.
Sorry, no appropriate role model. Let me say that again.
Maybe the
janitor working at the school for 40 years, mm-hmm. whose kid is now a doctor,
that is
a role model.
That's true. I had, I think maybe, and I do sometimes, I do thank God that I was able to. To some extent, I was able to live within the Jewish community, and I could say, I want to do this and I want to do that. Like I had like clear role models. Mm-hmm. So I lived with Dr. Wayne. So my mom was a domestic worker,
and
Dr. Wayne was a doctor, and then Susan is a teacher at King David, right? So and then I had him as my mentor, literally on my. I look at it now and I'm like,
on your case.
Oh my God, but Betsy, have you applied? But Betsy, have you written to the BBC? But Betsy, why? You know, and I had him, and I have to do it because there is literally someone pushing me. And I guess sometimes that's what we need as the youth. You need, you know, you need a person that cares enough to want the best for you. Unlike if a person from, let's say, from the Gassi, like parents are tired. Mom comes back at 7, dad comes back at 6. Everybody's tired. Sometimes I don't even do the homework. And if you don't do homework, it also starts from there. Who do you have as your role model, as
a
person
that's pushing? Accountability buddy.
An accountability buddy person. Mm. You know. So I think for me, I had that, and I thank God that I had that. Mm. Not everybody has that or was able to do that. And even after that, you know, like someone like Kathy, she is one of my role models because I can say, I look at the way she could, I promise you, Kathy could sell you anything. Mm-hmm. And I would buy it because she is so great at that. And I'm like, if I could do that, if I can do that, and she is so passionate. And if I can, you know, I literally have, I'm always saying I have the greatest people around me, and I will take, you know, I'll take all the characteristics from the great characteristics from all of them.
All of them. That's
and put it together.
Absorb what is useful.
Exactly.
Reject what is not. And
absolutely.
Add what is
and that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's, yeah, it's amazing. It's sure. It's really amazing to have that. And it's just something, it's quite sad that if you're living in the gas, you don't always have those opportunities.
So here's a thing, and I spoke about this on my personal podcast.
Yeah.
I've been speaking about I've made a commitment to put out a video every day except Saturday for 2024.
Shabbos, yeah.
And I might stick to that.
Okay,
I said for a year and we'll see.
Okay.
So the thing is that it's very important that you surround yourself with people who are adults. Not old people who are adults, people who behave about, that care about you, that you value you, that if you don't want to do something that they want you to do, don't make you feel guilty about not doing it. Mm-hmm. So May, that's the thing, is like, how do people in the townships, how do people in the Kasi find role models? The truth is, look for someone that you would want your child to marry.
Sure.
You know? Like, so it's not about the money, it's not about the flash, it's about the honor, it's about the integrity. Look for someone who's happy genuinely within themselves. Maybe it's the old lady who's the Shizunyama. Maybe it's find that. If you don't have that at home, look for it and start to build that relationship. It's like, it's life shadowing.
True, but here's the thing, right? How do you tell a 16-year-old to look for happiness when he's looking for money? Because here's the thing. What defines success?
Yes.
To different people, I guess it's obviously different. But
so I think the first level of success is not being hungry, having a roof over your head, and being able to support your family.
But it's easy to appreciate those things. I think it's sometimes I feel like maybe we're not appreciative enough.
Well,
and maybe
gratitude.
We don't have that, and then so
we don't understand.
Like,
we don't understand its value.
We don't understand its value, and that's why I remember when one of my teachers asked me. Actually, she asked me. I actually have to get back to her. I have to. She asked me if I could come and talk at the school.
Awesome.
And yes, it's amazing. And she said to me, "Must get also like." Former matriculants at Waverley, like eight more, And every time I call each one of them, the first question is, what am I going to say? I don't think I'm at a place to talk. I'm like, what do you mean? And I guess that's where the definition of achievement, of success also comes from. You know, one is like, I have to Uber there. I don't even have a Mercedes Benz to, like, what am I motivating on top of? But so, it's the little things.
So what people are saying is, okay, so that's my view of success is ABCD.
Yes.
I don't have that. Mm-hmm. How can I speak about success?
Exactly. But in most cases, all of them is the same.
You're not lying on the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
You're not dead. I always tell people, every day above ground is a good day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, having sat on my couch with my gun in my mouth, asking God to give me the courage to kill myself, that's my low point. It happened more than once.
That's hectic, yeah.
But that is my greatest gift, because anything above that is success.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by the way, how many success, just talk about the Jewish community, how many successful Jewish people have you met? Well, you ask them. No, yes, but if you ask them, are you successful? So, I think so. My mother, not so much.
Yeah.
She doesn't think I'm the, you know, my brother, he's successful.
You know,
the joke of the first Jewish, the American Jewish president,
the
first one, and they're interviewing his mother. Mm-hmm. Says, your son was elected the first Jewish president of America.
Yeah.
She says, yes, but my other son, he's a doctor. He's a doctor.
Mind him, but I'll tell you about
it. I'll tell you this. And that's it. So
I
think if you, maybe success is developing a real level of gratitude.
Mm-hmm. I think
because then you've succeeded. You're grateful for what you have.
You're grateful
for where you are. And when you're grateful for what you have, suddenly that becomes a foundation.
Sure.
And you can build off a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not grateful for, and it's tough, like I said, you know, I've been homeless twice in my life. So first time I lost everything, I was in financial services.
Okay.
And I sleep in my car.
Oh my gosh.
A friend of mine found out, like I was staying at my dad, and then I couldn't stay there, gave me an apartment to stay in. Second time after my divorce, wasn't keeping an eye on the business. I was doing the work, I wasn't invoicing. But 6 months behind on my rent at home and at the gym. And I did a deal with my landlord that I went to go and live in my gym.
Sure.
There was no shower, no bathroom, no toilet.
That is hectic. Sure.
But I did that for 6, 7 months, 8 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And what was so cool is I got to bath in a bucket with cold water and a face cloth. Do you know how powerful that was for me? Because I got to bath the same way the majority of our country baths.
That's true.
So you see, I took that like, this is, you know, so if I want to go and spend $20,000 going to live in Nepal, I'm going to be bathing the same way.
That's true.
So this is just an experience. Yeah. So it was the gratitude that I had a bucket, I had running water, I had a toilet in the center I could use. And that was it. So, you know, these are the things. It's our difficulties remind us of what we're capable of surviving.
True, but also our difficulties, our difficulties, it's how you view. Sometimes people, and I sometimes look at it and I'm like, I don't understand. While other people, you can look at your difficulties and say, I want to come out.
Yes.
Some people become so conditioned and stay in it. And which is so heartbreaking and so sad because you see, you're like,
no, but that's the, that's 100%.
Yeah.
That's why we do this, because it's, you are awesome and you have awesome potential and you've been able to develop that potential. This is about, look at Cap, my amazing coach. Cap's our head coach, runs the gym. And he was chatting to clients there now about, you know, in the past we've been running, I'll talk to you about, you know, payments. He did it. He got two clients came into the gym yesterday.
Yeah.
They're coming to do a session today. So it's about unpacking, seeing potential and unpacking it, believing in people until they can believe in
exactly.
themselves.
True,
thing is, it's about not feeling helpless and powerless.
Mm-hmm.
So within this, doing this podcast, we're putting it out. I'm going to share the folder with you.
Thank you.
Can chop it up and share it on your media
and
put the whole thing on. Yeah. So these are the things. It's like, okay, not relying on the government. Maybe this is it.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to rely on anyone to get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
But
I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I have to do.
You see, to some extent, it's easier. I feel like it's easier said than done.
Of course.
Like right now, we also have the
because
piece
this
of the
is an
problem.
Attitude. This is an attitude yes. I had developed
yeah.
through pain.
True. But that's what I'm saying. You also have the fees must fall. That's why we also have the fees must fall issue, which is, you know, the government said it will pay for your fees. Now you want the government to pay for your fees. Is it a staff entitlement problem or is it that? I don't know. I don't know. So it,
so how about this? I'm not getting an education without fees. I'm wasting time. Mm-hmm. Let me go and shadow someone.
Let me go see if I can. I think that's something. I think as people, we're just wired differently. We're just wired different. And that's what I'm saying. I think from the moment I left high school, I've worked.
Yeah.
I've always worked. I've always worked and studied at the same time. I've never. And I think that's also something that I can be very proud of myself till today to say that I've worked at different, like I don't know myself outside of not working and studying. Yeah. And right now I was actually thinking about it. So I'm supposed to, I applied for my honors last November. Mm-hmm. But then I forgot to pay the application fee. Now I'm stuck with the fact that I can still apply. I don't know if I should, am I still allowed to, or will UNISA allow me to actually pay it or what happens? Because, and I'm so anxious that if I'm not studying and I'm only working, there's anxiety, all of that, because I've never not studied. So I'm literally panicking at the moment. So, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to study? And it's one of those things. But then someone else would say,
give me 1 second.
Yeah, sure.
Cap, have you got Connie's mom? And Connie, oh, excellent. Sorry, what have you got them on? Oh, what? No, come and use the computer. We're nearly done. Sorry, Cap. So I didn't realize the time. Sorry.
Is the time?
It's 10:15.
Oh, I actually didn't.
10:20.
Oh, no, I didn't actually see that.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry. So I lost my train of thought.
Okay, sorry. Yes.
That's
no, fine. So you're saying you're studying in your anxiety.
Yeah, so I don't know my life. But then someone else would say, you know what? If Nesfis is not sponsoring my fees, then I'm going to sit until they sponsor me. But, well, you know, sometimes Netflix doesn't sponsor.
And 5 years later,
you're still sitting. Yeah, you haven't done anything with your life. That is very
sad. Or be
sad.
Really, really annoying and say, who's the department that runs that? You know what? I'm going to go and shadow them.
Exactly.
Hi, while I'm waiting, can I work here for free?
Can I shadow?
Have the time.
Can I see?
I shadow? Yeah,
can
like
see what
pay,
you do. Yeah,
pay his fees.
You know, and if people don't understand the power in actually
doing.
Shadowing, like, you know, I feel like a lot of people underestimate that, and it's the amount of knowledge and the amount of skill that
there
you will get.
There is nothing better than an apprentice, or a shadow, or it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you know, you're learning something. You know, and I was thinking about it, and I'm like. With some of the people that were training under me, you know, during December, I'm actually proud of them. I'm actually so, like one person that stands out for me. I think her name is Maxine. She was producing for the Overdrive. I literally trained her in a week, and she was in it. And I'm like,
is that the one who bullied me?
No, I don't think so. Right. No, that's not the one. No, so it's another one. And I was so proud of her. Because I'm like, wow, I can actually change. Like, I saw the potential in her, she saw the potential in herself, and therefore we could actually make this.
Yes.
Could the world not just be like this? Because South Africa cannot just be like this. See the potential in yourself, let someone see the potential in you.
So it's not about the whole South Africa, it's not about the world, it's about the one person.
The one person.
Or the two people that you can affect. That's
sorry.
It, no problem.
Yeah. So I guess, I think maybe that's the thing. It's... You know, if I could do that for the rest of my life, then I'd be very happy.
Good.
I'd be very happy. Yeah.
We've covered a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to chat about.
Sure.
I think we can call it there today.
Okay.
I want to say thank you.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
Dude.
It really is an amazing conversation.
Oh, thank you. It was epic. Tina, thank you.
Thank you.
How do people get you on social? Or
Sana
Babati.
Sana Babati on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on,
excellent.
On Snapchat.
Snapchat.
Yeah, there's still that actually. I have to use Snapchat.
I have to download that app. I haven't looked at it yet.
With Snapchat. I don't think it's. I don't know. It's not as impactful as it was, but I guess having all social media platforms is just
it's great
the thing to be.
And you're on X.
I'm on X as well.
I had to leave X. I got too many X's. sorry, was that bad?
No, that's fine.
You heard that one here first. Right, thank you, Sina. Where is it? Here we go. Ready, Anne?
Okay.
Sweet.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you, guys.
Okay,
thank you,
fantastic.
Everybody. And it was a lot of fun. We'll have you back, dude.
Fabulous.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.